What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we also have one of the original members, John Kegley, on the show with us today to get into the first round of the draft and all the craziness that happened on Thursday night. But first, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, I mean, I don't even really know where to start with this thing. What a crazy first round we just saw by the Chargers. I'm sure all of you, if you haven't heard, you know, the Chargers went absolutely nuts in the first round. Not only did they take Justin Herbert with the sixth overall pick, but they traded back into the first round and got linebacker Kenneth Murray. So we're going to start with that as the news, just our first reactions to those picks. And then in the second segment, we'll get John's take on the whole situation. Spoiler alert, he's not happy. But we'll get John's, you know, thoughts on everything, talk about just if we're surprised that the Chargers didn't even try to trade up potentially to get Tua, or trade back once they didn't get Tua, and all of those things before getting into the end of the show, where we'll talk about now that the Chargers don't have a third or second round pick, who we would have liked to see them go if they still had those, and also just talk about, you know, where the Chargers go from here, because the next pick as it's scheduled right now is the 112th pick in the draft. So there's a lot of time left. They will be making no picks tonight on day two of the draft, but let's go ahead and get into it. The first round of the 2020 NFL draft happened on Thursday night, and the Chargers not only picked a quarterback, but also traded up for another selection in the first round. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. With the sixth overall selection in the 2020 draft, the Chargers decided to get the quarterback of their future when they decided to draft Justin Herbert from the Oregon Ducks. This is a move that wasn't a huge surprise because Tua Tagovailoa went fifth overall to the Dolphins. It was a little surprising that nobody traded up inside the top five, but the biggest surprise of the night came when the Chargers traded back in to the first round and selected linebacker Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma. We knew linebacker was in need, but didn't expect Tom Telesco to trade away his second and third picks, the 37th and 71st overall picks, to the New England Patriots to get Murray. So, David, let's start with Justin Herbert. A lot of Charger fans wanted Tua Tagovailoa. A lot of people wanted the Chargers to trade up to get him if they had to, but not get into a bidding war with the Miami Dolphins. Everybody ends up standing pat, and the Chargers come away with the guy that was left, which in this case was Justin Herbert. So we don't know what the Chargers' grade on Herbert was, but the Chargers saw a guy available at six and decided to pull the trigger and think they have found the quarterback of their future.
Yeah, and they didn't feel compelled to move up, Daniel, and so that means that they were very comfortable with taking Justin Herbert at six, and also that durability was absolutely a massive concern. Obviously, Tua Tagovailoa's injury history is well documented in his college career. Justin Herbert hasn't really had those things. He's had his own limitations, you know, being in the Oregon offense, you know, which is notoriously hard to evaluate because it's really only suited for college football. You don't really see that style of game in the NFL, but he has great measurables. I mean, he looks like an NFL-sized quarterback. He can run. He definitely has the massive arm. There are question marks, but obviously the Chargers felt very comfortable taking Justin Herbert with the sixth overall pick because they believe that he is the quarterback of the future.
You're right. You would have to think that they had similar grades on them if they were willing to just sit there and wait for whoever to drop into their laps. And with Justin Herbert, I know a lot of Charger fans aren't excited, but they do get a quarterback that has a really high ceiling, has all of the athletic traits that you want, has the big arm, can run the football as well, and would be perfect for the mobile quarterback that Anthony Lynn has always said that he wanted. So you get a guy that, you know, played all 4 years in college, a guy that got better every single year, and now you just have to hope that the Chargers and Shane Steichen and Anthony Lynn can develop him into the next franchise quarterback. But now it's time to get into the Chargers' second first round pick when they decided to trade up to the 23rd overall pick in the draft and select linebacker Kenneth Murray. David, we knew that the Chargers needed to address the linebacker position. They openly talked about it during the offseason, But at the same time, I don't think anybody expected the Chargers to trade back into the first round, jump up 14 picks to select him.
You're right, because this is completely opposite of what Tom Telesco has shown us during his tenure as general manager of the Chargers. They have never moved back up in the first round during the Tom Telesco era, so this was an unprecedented move. Obviously, Kenneth Murray is an outstanding player. He is definitely profiles as a three-down linebacker, a two-time captain, a guy who is a nasty, heat-seeking missile type of player. He's a great football player. He's going to add speed to the Chargers' defense. It came at a steep price, though. You know, the Chargers now do not have their second or third round picks, and they made that trade with the New England Patriots. So you just give more picks to the evil empire, and you get to see what they did with it. But obviously, it made for a very exciting first round of the 2020 NFL draft.
Yeah, and the Chargers are absolutely upgrading at that position. We haven't seen a stable linebacking core for this team in a very long time. So they saw a guy they really liked. They jumped the New Orleans Saints, who were heavily mocked to take him with the 24th overall pick, and they ended up getting Kenneth Murray, and he slides right in maybe year one as the starting linebacker. So it is going to cost them a lot. You don't have a second or a third round pick. The next pick you have is the 112th overall selection, and you still have a lot of needs to fill. So now Tom Telesco has the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks to try to address the offensive tackle position, the wide receiver position, the cornerback position, and potentially even an edge rusher for the future as well. So now Tom Telesco has a lot of needs to fill. We will see how they will end up addressing those positions on day 3 of the draft. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting John Kegley's thoughts on everything that happened on draft night 1, as well as all of the other questions we have now going forward, coming up right after this. All right, guys, now back here to talk about that crazy round 1 of the NFL draft. The Chargers get not one, but two first round picks. And John, I know that you had a pretty negative reaction to the whole first round. I know you didn't really want Herbert as the quarterback, and I know you were not a fan of the Chargers trading back up into the first round and giving up what they did to get Kenneth Murray. But first, just what was your reaction when Tua got off of the board, and what was your reaction when the Chargers ended up taking Justin Herbert?
Well, personally, I didn't want Tua or Herbert if you're asking for who I wanted. So Tua going off the board really just told me potential went off the board for the Chargers. The difference for me between Herbert and Tua was Tua, you're taking a risk on injury, but the upside is pretty good. With Herbert, I don't feel like there is an upside to him. I feel like he's going to be a major bust for us. This is a guy who holds the ball way too long, is inaccurate, has played his whole career out of the shotgun, and I feel like he doesn't really bring anything. The Oregon offense helped him look better than he really is. And now that he's going to come to an NFL offense, I don't really see him translating pretty well. I don't see how he's our franchise QB. So I am not happy with that pick. I would have much rather just traded back, got an offensive lineman and a couple more picks. And then maybe I would have felt better about trading back into the first round, because not only did you gain draft picks, but maybe use some of those draft picks to move back into the first round. But we gave up our second and our third round pick, which means we're not going to be getting any draft picks till the fourth round unless we trade again somehow. But Kenneth Murray is a pretty decent pickup. This is a linebacker who can run sideline to sideline, will make plays, has an eye for making the play, knows how to tackle very well. I would say his downside is he's undisciplined and impatient when it comes to making the play. He might jump on it a little too quick and overrun a guy. Or let's say there's a pass that goes to the flats to a running back. Right when he sees that play is going to happen, he'll jump at it before the quarterback's even thinking about throwing it that way. And then maybe he leaves his responsibility of covering a zone or something and leaves a wide receiver on a slant route open. And now a pass to the running back that could have been 2 yards turns into a pass to a wide receiver for 12 yards. Like, if he's a little bit more disciplined, which is an easy fix, he's going to be maybe your franchise linebacker. I think you start him on the weak side and he develops into your strong side linebacker, and I think he could be your franchise linebacker.
Yeah, I definitely think that he has that potential. And that's the thing, is it's like, I don't dislike the pick, and that's what I posted on Twitter as well. I really like the pick. I think he has the potential to be a really good linebacker and a guy that could potentially help you year one, especially, I mean, coming in as a rookie, we'll probably see him really heavily throughout special teams, which is going to be a big ask for the Chargers with the guys that they lost in the offseason, Adrian Phillips, Derek Watt, and you also lost Jeremy Davis as well. All of those guys contributed heavily on special teams, and I think he would come in and help that. For me, I mean, the one thing I disagree about with Justin Herbert is I don't necessarily think that Oregon offense really helped him. I know it's set up to work in college football, and, you know, he might have had a lot of successes, at least as far as completion percentage and stuff like that with all of the screens and all of those things. But when I watched Oregon's offense, I wasn't very impressed, and I definitely didn't think they were using Justin Herbert's skill sets, the things that he does do well, to be most effective. So I'm not going to hold Oregon's offense against him, but I do think there is definitely a steep learning curve going from that offense to the NFL, especially given the situation we have surrounding us right now with COVID-19 and everything potentially getting shortened. I mean, the Saints just scrapped their whole offseason, you know, conditioning program and all of those things. I mean, they're just basically saying show up to training camp. So he's going to have a lot of to kind of take in and digest and learn. And he also has Tyrod Taylor sitting in front of him. So I think he's definitely a quarterback that, I mean, needs to get seasoned and will have a good time, you know, sitting behind Tyrod Taylor. I think that's the right decision coming out of the gate, unless, I mean, he absolutely stuns you. But we also saw that be the plan with the Cleveland Browns, and we saw how that turned out. So as far as Kenneth Murray goes, the things I liked about him, I mean, he does have a hot motor, but sometimes that means him going, you know, 100 miles an hour when he needs to go 60 miles an hour, and that's something I'll talk about as well. But a really good tackler, and what I liked about him is he's not only the guy that can lay a big hit, but he's also the guy that can go and tackle somebody in space as well and make that sure-handed tackle, as well as being, you know, he's not Denzel Perryman where you're only going to get big hits every once in a while. He has a full repertoire there. We talked about the sideline to sideline range. He has really good length, so you'd hope he can kind of get better at shedding tackles or shedding blockers at the NFL level with that length, because he can lock out offensive linemen. But it wasn't something we always saw with him, especially with bigger guys in between the tackles. That wasn't something he excelled in. But, I mean, when he decides to shoot a gap, I mean, he's extremely explosive. He's going to make a lot of tackles for loss. He's going to make a lot of splash plays, but that's always going to come with some rookie mistakes as well. And I think that's going to be a big part of it, especially if he gets on the field early, because, I mean, those are some of the things he needs to work out. You can't be getting out of position and giving up chunk plays in the NFL. There's been questions about his instincts and him, you know, not always, you know, seeing what he should be seeing and going to the wrong keys and things like that. So those are definitely some things that you're worried about. But at the same time, if there are some issues like me and you have talked about, John, like those are the better issues to have. So,
yeah, I agree. It's basically the way I said it earlier before the show was, would I rather have a Manti Te'o who can't get off a block, who can't make a tackle, who doesn't get to his assignment, or would I rather have a Kenneth Murray who's getting there, he's just too anxious getting there and overrunning it? That's an easy fix. I'd rather have the Kenneth Murray.
Especially when you think about some of the things that he could do really well for the Chargers, like all those times where you see a swing pass in the flat and, you know, you see a Chargers linebacker not only getting there late, but sometimes missing the tackle as well. And one of the things we didn't get to see him do a lot was just him being in coverage. He's a really good blitzer. We saw him rushing the passer a lot, even being like an edge rusher at times, but we didn't see him a ton in coverage. But with his athletic ability, with the way he gets downfield, you would think it would be perfect for the Chargers zone defense, where it's basically the linebackers dropping out and reacting to what's in front of them. So when he sees a guy in front of him that's about to get the ball, it's sick the ball, go get him. And he does that extremely, extremely well. So I'm excited about his potential as a coverage linebacker in Gus Bradley's scheme as well. So I'm excited about it. But getting into just everything that happened and how it happened, one of the things I thought was surprising was ESPN's Adam Schefter coming out and saying that nobody tried to trade up to the third pick with the Lions or the fourth overall pick with the Giants. And once the Dolphins didn't go up to three, I was screaming at my television, trade up to four, go get Tua. That's what I wanted to happen. That's what happened in our Locked On Chargers mock draft. So, David, I'll just kind of put this question to you. Are you surprised that there wasn't at least even an attempt to get up there? Because, I mean, even, you know, if you have just a slightly higher grade on Tua Tagovailoa, what's the, you know, difficulty in calling and offering a fourth round pick or something crazy? You know, it's just surprising that no phone calls were made.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's crazy that they didn't even at least pick up the phone and see if the Giants were receptive to see if you could hop in front of him. Now, obviously, we don't know what happened behind the scenes, and we don't know if Miami's like, well, if you try to do that, then we'll, you know, I'll just offer a better package than you, because they could absolutely do that. I mean, Miami could do whatever they wanted in this draft. They had an insane amount of draft capital, but yeah, I mean, I was very surprised. I was pounding the table for that move, too. I wanted them to go get Tua because I thought he was a lot more effective and more talented on the football field, regardless of the injuries. That's what I wanted to see, but that's obviously not what the Chargers wanted. And, you know, they mentioned that, like I said before, durability was a huge thing for them. Obviously, that was, you know, a huge factor in making that decision.
It sure seems like it, and that's the kind of funny thing about the Chargers is they said they wanted a guy who was durable. They got a guy who was durable. They said that they might address the linebacker position in the draft, and you know that made us think it might be higher than we thought. They went and did that as well. So some of the things that concern me now is just how highly are you valuing some of the other holes on this roster and how you're going to fill those holes. But John, if you would have been Tom Telesco, you know, Tua gets taken, or even, you know, you wanted to trade back all along, what would have been like the best case scenario for you with the Chargers not getting Tua, and if you decided to not go Justin Herbert there?
I would have said best case scenario is maybe trade back, maybe to the Jaguars. Maybe they would have wanted Justin Herbert. I'm sure they would have liked the developmental franchise QB. And then by moving back, you get to get a tackle or wide receiver, someone that you think is worthy of that pick. Personally, me, I would have wanted offensive tackle, but Telesco might have wanted someone else like Jerry Jeudy or someone. I just name some names that could have been taken at the ninth spot. I would have done something like that. Then in that process, you probably gain an extra draft pick or two for that trade. And then when you make that trade for Kenneth Murray, which is not the pick is not bad. I just don't want to give up a second round pick and not have one to go with. If the third round pick, I'm fine with giving up. We all know how bad Telesco is in the third round.
Right.
But second round pick, if you would have gotten a first and a second to switch with the Jaguars and then traded one of your second round picks along with your third to get Murray and still had a second round pick in the process, that trade would look way better to me. So that would be the best case scenario for me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could see that. I mean, even one of the trade scenarios I got in a mock was one time I traded, I think the Jaguars had like the 18th pick in this scenario or something like that. I got their first round pick in the top 10 plus their 18th pick. I let them have 37 and 6, but you at least wouldn't have had to give up more options that way. You still could have gotten Kenneth Murray if that was the direction you wanted to go. But I think there was just more questions. If you're trading up, maybe why don't you go with a guy like Josh Jones? Why don't you go with Patrick Queen if you're going to go linebacker? Because there were plenty of people that had Patrick Queen graded ahead of Kenneth Murray. I thought they were both pretty close. I think that even though, you know, there might be some more potential with Patrick Queen, I think that, you know, you got the more polished guy in Kenneth Murray out of that transaction. So I don't really, I mean, hate it as far as Kenneth Murray versus Patrick Queen, but as far as giving up as much as they did to go get him specifically, obviously the Chargers had a big need there. They ended up filling it, but I think there were obviously some better needs on the roster, and it just makes me wonder, you know, Tom Telesco probably does really have a lot of faith in Trey Pipkins and Michael Davis, but that's something we're going to be getting into in the next segment, because now we talk about where do we go from here now with the Chargers not selecting again till the fourth round. So we're going to get into that right after this. All right, guys. Well, first of all, let me just kind of, you know, apologize. I know that you guys probably expected a really fun show, and then John just came in here and just kind of spit on everybody and told you how depressed that he is.
Hurricane John.
But, I mean, obviously, this is a time to be hopeful. And I think you, obviously, for Chargers fans, we haven't seen these guys take the field yet. So I would just say, don't let it get to you too much. Give it a little bit of time before you get too upset about it. But I understand being upset about not getting Tua, just because, as you know, even me and myself, I was pretty invested in the Chargers going and getting him, just because I think, you know, if he's healthy, he can turn into one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I don't think that's a long shot by any means. But now we just talk about where do the Chargers go from here. So, David, the Chargers have now addressed quarterback and linebacker. So looking forward, knowing that you're not going to pick until the fourth round, what are you attacking next? What's the next biggest need that you're trying to address, given the Chargers are going to have to wait until day three to do it.
Yeah, considering they have to wait till day three to do it, Daniel, I think you look at offensive tackle and you're like, you say, okay, I kind of missed the mark on that. I don't think I'm going to be able to find a guy that's I'm going to be able to draft and bring in and make an impact right away. Obviously, we don't know, but I don't think that that's, you know, going to happen. Also, you look at corner and you're like, I don't know if I can get a corner in the fourth round plus that is going to come in and make a significant impact either. But you also say, hey, this draft's pretty loaded with wide receivers and running back talent all up and down the draft. So I think that's probably where they're going to look at next, look at trying to find a big bruising running back and try to get a solid wide receiver three, a guy that you know is going to actually come in and contribute.
Yeah, and that's a really hard, you know, steep learning curve, and we've seen it with plenty of first-round wide receivers just trying to, you know, adjust to the NFL game. It's one of the harder positions to do that, to find impact players, and I know that we talked with Eric Williams about that before when we had him on the show, just talking about, you know, the Chargers could be hesitant to take a wide receiver because, as we saw with Mike Williams, I mean, we know that injuries had a lot to do with it, but you're not necessarily always going to get that production year one out of those guys, and he came back his next year and had 10 touchdowns. But getting back to, you know, where we go next from here, John, the Chargers pick in the fourth round. David talked about it a little bit, and I was thinking along the same lines of, okay, well, the two positions that you should still be able to find guys at a good value that could actually help the team are running back and wide receiver. I mean, you could still, you know, potentially get a guy like Darnell Mooney. You know, there's guys like Devin Duvernay, I think he'll probably go before them, but there's still some help there that could be had. There's also guys like A.J. Dillon and Zach Moss and some other guys we've talked about that'll go later on in the draft that the Chargers could still potentially fill a need at running back. But John, what are you looking at? Where are you, you know, zeroing in on as far as what the Chargers try to address next?
Got to be wide receiver and running back, personally. I think those are going to be your two best options as far as value goes with your fourth and fifth round pick, and A.J. Dillon and Devin Duvernay. Duvernay is probably going to be between third, fourth round. So he might be able to get to you in the fourth round. A.J. Dillon could be their fourth round if Duvernay's gone. But there's also some offensive linemen that are still around that you might want to take a chance on. Or there's even going for a corner like Bryce Hall, who's been predicted for third round, but a lot of mock drafts also haven't fallen to the fourth round. There's a lot of different ways you can go with this. It's mostly, can you get the best player available who fits your scheme that you are highly on? So don't just pick a guy just because he's there. If you say, well, we need a corner and this is a guy is here, let's just take him. Or did you like what you saw in him? If you did, take him. If you like what you saw in Bryce Hall and he's there at your fourth pick, you take him. But with Telesco, you never know how he grades these guys. I mean, he thought Jerry Tillery was one of the few guys that was worthy of a first-round grade. So you don't know exactly how he's grading these guys. Me, personally, I'd want to go for A.J. Dillon in the fourth round just so we can have some power running to go with Herbert. Because if we're going to use Herbert in the future, you're going to have elusiveness with Eckler and then power with Dillon.
Yeah, I like that combination, too. I think that that's one thing that you want to get if you go running back is finding a guy that can be successful in short yardage situations, find a guy that can punch the ball in the red zone when you get there and be able to have that kind of physicality element that you don't currently get with two more finesse guys in Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler. So I definitely agree, and you're right. I mean, there's guys like Ben Bartsch from St. John's who the Chargers have been connected to. There's Cameron Clark, who David talked about out of Charlotte, that they've been connected to. And I mean, there's still spots to be had on this roster at tackle that you could still find somebody that can come and compete. Are they going to, you know, impact the game year one on a team that has a win now roster? Probably not, but for some of those guys, I mean, there's a couple more guys we haven't even talked about as far as, you know, there's guys like Antonio Gibson at running back that could potentially be there. Bryce Hall, I think, is a good guy. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams already take corners, so there's going to be a lot of corners that end up still going ahead of him, and I would like that as far as, you know, competition for Michael Davis, but it just scares you, you know? Just scares you that the Chargers are super sold on Michael Davis. Michael Davis was one of the five people they chose to put a jersey on in the first picture we saw with them, with players actually wearing them. I color me surprised. I would have rather seen Brian Bulaga and his big ass in a new jersey before I wanted to see Michael Davis. And that's the thing that scares me the most is This team is really sold on Michael Davis. They're really sold on Trey Pipkins being the left tackle this year. Those are very scary thoughts because, hey, guess what? You don't have a left-handed quarterback. You have a good old-fashioned right-handed quarterback now with a big blind spot that could be a big issue going forward. But now talking about, you know, the fact that the Chargers don't have a second-round pick. They don't have a third-round pick. Obviously, we did 7 weeks of mock drafts just for the Chargers to get rid of both of those picks and render them completely meaningless. I did 2 articles about the best options in the second and third rounds for the Chargers. All that is out the window now. So getting back to, you know, our scouting process and everything else, David, when you look at some of the guys the Chargers missed potentially by getting rid of both of those picks in the second or third round, who's the guy that kind of hurts you the most?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of guys that really jumped to mind right away is Ezra Cleveland, the offensive tackle. I really thought that he had some great tools to work with, and he could definitely help you out on the left side sooner rather than later. And then also just the explosiveness and the length and the speed of Denzel Mims. I really would have loved to have seen him paired with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I think he would have just been a really nice complement to those guys. So that's definitely going to hurt to watch them put on a different uniform and play for a different team.
Yeah, and like I said before, I mean, one of the things the Chargers kind of hurt themselves with is just they don't get a chance to attack two needs in the second and third rounds instead of just addressing one need in the first round. So, John, when you're thinking about all the guys that you've looked out specifically targeting for the Chargers in the second or third round, who is it going to hurt you the most that the Chargers missed out on?
Well, definitely Ezra Cleveland. I really wanted to have someone fix
I thought he was going to go in the first round. I was surprised it was Austin Jackson ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. When I heard Austin Jackson's name, I was like, really, that early? That's kind of a reach there, but I thought Ezra
Teams love upside.
I thought he'd been really good for us in the second round, but mostly it's the fact that we're not going to be able to get one of these like higher up wide receivers, like a T. Higgins, or someone like that. You know, like there's a lot of guys, even Chase Claypool. Like most of these guys are predicted to go second and third round. I would have loved to have had one of those to add to this offense. And now you're gonna have to settle for someone. Even this is the deep class of wide receivers, yes, but you're gonna have to settle for someone that's not a T. Higgins or any of those type of guys who were really, really good. Even the Denzel Mims that David loves to mention a lot, like someone like that would have helped this offense a lot. Now you got to settle, and the best case scenario is going to be Devin Duvernay if he falls to the fourth round. But there's a lot of mock drafts saying he's in the third, but there's also a lot saying he was in the fifth. If Duvernay falls to you, that'd be your clutch third down guy, but that's going to be like a really wait and see and hope type of situation.
I obviously have my sights on Darnell Mooney just because I liked what I saw. Plus, he, you know, with that 40 times, sub 4.440, could definitely at least fill that role of taking the top off of a defense. So he's a guy like Devin Duvernay in the fourth, I think, would still be a steal. I still think, you know, maybe the Chargers end up taking a route of going with just a playmaker, a guy like Lynn Bowden from Kentucky. I mean, there's still a lot of options for the Chargers potentially in those rounds. We don't know who's going to be there, but no matter how much we think Tom Telesco might have screwed up a third round pick to address some of these positions, but not getting one of those top receivers. Obviously, Jalen Reagor was a guy that I was very high on. He ended up going in the first round anyways. Brandon Ayuk went in the first round. That was kind of a surprise as well. There was some very surprising picks, but at the end of the day, the Chargers would have had some pretty talented wide receivers available to them that could have had the potential to turn into something more than a wide receiver three. So that was one of the things we talked about pre-show is, yes, could they get a wide receiver three out of this draft potentially? Maybe, you know, it's still yet to be determined, but can they get a guy that's going to start as a wide receiver three and not knowing what's going to happen with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen's contracts turn into something more potentially? That gets a little tougher now when you're picking with a fourth, fifth, and sixth round with, you know, other positions that you still have to fill out. So overall, I mean, it was a day that had a lot of excitement. I mean, a day that had a lot of action for the Chargers. Unfortunately, we won't have anything to watch tonight regarding the draft unless we see, you know, maybe the Chargers try to get back into it. But the Chargers end up taking Justin Herbert and Kenneth Murray with the 2 picks in the first round. So if you guys want to give us your reaction to that, I know it's been a very split reaction to it. Make sure to let us know on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and give us a follow, as well as telling us how you feel on Facebook, the Locked On Chargers Facebook page, or you could always call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323 323- 424-7924. We will be back with you guys on Monday to review this entire draft. There's still four more picks at least that the Chargers will make, or, you know, maybe they trade another pick away and they have less. We don't know, but we'll be back with you here on Monday to break all of that stuff down. So until then, guys, make sure to go subscribe to us on iTunes or Apple Music, or give us a follow on Spotify. We really appreciate it. But we'll be back with you guys on Monday with a bunch more draft picks to talk about. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.